On stage since the age of 5, a worldwide star since the age of 12, Michael Jackson has enjoyed one of the most remarkable careers in show business. In commercial terms, right up there with Sinatra, Presley, and the Beatles. His album Thriller, the winner of 7 Grammy Awards, was still selling a million copies a year, 15 years after its release. But at the very peak of his career, Michael's legal problems have too often driven him into seclusion, a physical isolation, usually here at Neverland, that, if anything, has made him more vulnerable to attack. He's offered us a tour of his house. For all its grandeur, as you'll see, Neverland is, in its way, a modest place, a place that celebrates children. Jackson's biggest problem is that his vision of himself as a kind of modern-day Peter Pan just does not sit well in a society scarred by stories of abusive priests and teachers and Boy Scout leaders. So in this segment, we talk about the original creator of Neverland.
You can visit Neverland anytime you like.
How?
Just believe.
Did you ever see the movie Finding Neverland or read about James Barry, the man who wrote Peter Pan?
I know a lot about Mr. Barry. I shouldn't say a lot, but I've always appreciated Mr. Barry's work, and I've been a fan of Mr. Barry for many, many, many years.
You know, he had a rocky road similar to you. I don't want to get too far into it, but tell us what led to the creation of Neverland. I mean, specifically the place. There's two Neverlands. There's three. There's the Peter Pan's Neverland, there's the Neverland in Michael Jackson's mind, and then there's the physical place that you created up there that I visited you when you brought up all the inner city children. Why did you create that place?
I created Neverland as a home for myself and my children, and it was created simply, it was almost, it was done subconsciously. Like I said earlier, where can I go? I mean, it's hard. I've tried to go as myself, and I've had policemen actually tell me, put on a disguise and give me an autograph for my wife, whatever. But they tell me, why are you out here like this with no security? So, and there's like fans everywhere, so I can't do it. I do it sometime, but it's very difficult.
But you owned Neverland before you had the kids. Was it for you or the exotic animals? Were they for Michael Jackson that you
owned? Oh, for me.
Yeah.
And for sharing
with
others.
Spirit.
For me and sharing with others, because it gave me a chance to do the things I never got to do when I was little. We couldn't go to a movie theater. We couldn't go to Disneyland. We couldn't do all those fun things. We were on tour. We were working hard. You know, and we enjoyed it. We did enjoy it. But this allowed me to have a place behind the gates where the entire world, everything that I love is there. You know?
You create, like Barry, this imaginary or imaginative world. Do you ever outgrow something like that, Michael? Do you ever, you know, think, oh, this is silly to have the llamas and the little choo-choo train and the ride?
It's calling God silly if you do that.
Tell me.
Because God made all things great and small. So that would be wrong. When other men have their Ferrari or they have their little, there's an airplane or a helicopter or whatever they find, wherever they find their bliss. And my bliss is in giving and sharing and having simple, innocent fun.
Your homes, I mean, for all the grandeur of Neverland, your home is quite modest. And your personal style, I don't see any bling, for instance.
There you go.
How come? How can you have a big diamond thing that says Michael?
Because I'm modest in that way. And if I had it on, I would probably give it away from the first kid who would walk up to me and say, wow, I like your necklace here. And have it. Because when I was little, stars like Sammy Davis, Fred Astaire, you know, Gene Kelly. If I admired something they were wearing, if I simply said, God, I love that shirt you're wearing, they would give it to me. So I was taught that, you know, that's part of a show business trait, you know, to hand it over.
Despite the glare of the media attention, and even the day that I was there and you invited the inner city kids there, what's it like to have the kids there? Why do you do that? I wanted to ask you that question that day, but I pose it to you now. Why? Why do you, when you see those kids, tell me what's going on.
Because I think I've traveled the world over 8 times around the world, and I go to hospitals. I do as many hospitals and orphanages as I do concerts. But of course it's not covered. That's not why I do it for coverage. I do it because it's from my heart. And there are so many children in the cities who've never seen the mountain, who haven't been on a carousel, who haven't petted a horse or a llama, who've never seen them. So when if I can open my gates, and those gates open, and that bliss, explosion of screaming and laughter from the children, and they run past the bridge, they run on the rides, I say, thank you, God. I feel I won God's smile of approval, you know, because I'm doing something that brings joy and happiness to other people.